Hey everyone, it's Crystal from the Spooky Barber Babes, and boy, do I have a good one for you. Now, this one is about paranormal, supernatural, and I want to go into this with a massive trigger warning. As stated in the little caption thing that y'all just saw, this episode is very much about suicide. And if you feel like you need to reach out, the number for the suicide prevention hotline here in the United States is at the bottom, was on the bottom of that screen that you just saw. And I'll also be putting it in at the end of the video as well, just in case. Now, again, like I said, this episode's very dark, very upsetting, but it's also got a bit of not just paranormal and supernatural, but it also has a bit of geological and geographical kind of history to it. So I kind of wanted to touch on this. It's a little off of our normal beaten path, but since we do talk about everything from serial killers, murders, paranormal hauntings and things like that, I wanted to touch this, and I've been wanting to do this one for a while, so I hope you all enjoy. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about Aokigahara Forest. 60 miles south of Tokyo, at the foot of Mount Fuji, lies one of the most deadliest forests in the world. This forest thrives on 12 square miles of hardened lava from the last eruption from Mount Fuji back in 864 CE. Now, on the western side, like the western edge of Aokigahara, there are these caves that during the winter time they fill up with ice and are supposedly really pretty. And this is actually very popular. Like, these caves are popular with tourists and also for school field trips. Now, when I say this, there are school trips that go to Aokigahara. It's history. And so this place is so beautiful from like pictures that I've seen, and just kind of where its location is, but there's so much sadness that it's depressing. This forest isn't deadly because of the wildlife around it or its proximity to Mount Fuji, which hasn't erupted in over 1,000+ years, knock on wood that it stays that way. No, it's known around the world as the suicide forest. Now, Aokigahara is considered to be a sacred forest in Japan, but not because it's a holy land, but because it's evil and it's where bad things happen. Aokigahara is translated as the field of green trees, and is also known as Jukai, the sea of trees. Growing up around this forest, locals had explained that as children, they were told to keep away and to never go there, that it's evil and is no place for them. People have claimed that even though there is wildlife, deer, bear, and things like that, you can't hear anything. It's utterly silent. And that gives it even more of a creepy vibe and makes people more anxious about being inside of it. Now, on the outside, there are signs posted at the entrance of the forest. And throughout the forest, it states, if you are thinking of suicide, please do not enter. Think of your loved ones, your friends, and your family. Seek help. Do not go through with it. There is also information to contact suicide prevention. There are multiple signs like this to turn around. Aokigahara is considered a no camping forest. Now, what that means is technically it is illegal to do so, but you're not allowed to go camping. Like, you can't pack up your family and take them into this place and go, oh yeah, here we are, you know, little Bobby and Jim, set up a fire. Like, no, you're not allowed to camp there. Now, if you happen to be traveling the forest and you see a tent, one of two things could be meant by this. Number one, the person that is in that tent is having second thoughts about committing the act of suicide. Now, that's a good thing. because that means that if you do stumble upon somebody in a tent, you can kind of talk to them, try to help them out and get them out of that headspace. Now, sometimes that's not always going to happen, but also most people that take a tent do have a tendency to pack that tent up and walk back out. Now, there's also a little bit of, like I said, paranormal aspect to this. There are many tales of the Yuri, which are ghosts or spirits, that are luring suicidal or sad, depressed people to their deaths. That's what's been told locally. Yuri are believed to be the spirits of those who have passed in the forest. And without a specific set of rituals performed on them after their deaths, they have been stuck inside the forest and becoming angry. They are said to prey on those who are having second thoughts, deceiving them into committing the actual act. Now, this could be in the form of deceiving them by making them their thoughts amplify that you're not worth it, things like that. Yuri have been blamed in part for luring people to their deaths now for a little over 60 years. There are some, however, who believe that it's not the Yuri assisting in the act, but rather it's the forest itself. With the whole forest laying on lava rock and salt, which has been formed together to create the hardened floor of the forest, it was noted that there are caverns and caves where strong electromagnetic fields have been located. And sadly, it is said that the people that go into Aokigahara to commit suicide via overdose will take the pills and just lay in these caverns and caves and just fall asleep. And that's where they ended. So not all deaths inside Aokigahara are related to like hanging or, you know, any brutal act. But there are, you know, the main two ways of suicide in the forest that I could find was hanging or overdose. But for those who are unfamiliar with what EMFs are, they can affect brain activity, which, you know, can enhance depression and can even enhance suicidal thoughts. So imagine it as someone who is having second thoughts, sitting in this tent. They don't really want to go through with it, but they want to, and they're like tossing with the idea. And then they go to this place and they're inside their tent. And then, you know, their brain's just like, you know what? No, just, yep. And it just enhances more of the sad thoughts and the sad feelings out of it all. And that kind of just like potentially could push them over their limits. And then they end up taking their lives. Now, Aokigahara saw its first suicides in the 1960s, with some reports of at least 100 suicides per year. In 1970, there began an annual body search. Kind of, I don't know if it's like a specific time of year where they go and do this, but it's conducted by police, journalists, and many local volunteers. In 2002, the forest has set its first record of up to 78 bodies found. But in 2003, that record was broken when the searches produced 105 bodies. By 2010, it had been recorded that there were 200 attempted suicides, with 54 of the acts completed. Although with tents, people who are either having second thoughts or those who just want their bodies found so they do not become Yuri, they will tie rope, string, or some type of ribbon to trees in hopes that if they decide against committing the act in full, they have a way to get back outside of the forest. Or again, in some cases, if they do go through with it, searchers would find a body at the end of the rope. In recent years, Japan authorities, however, have not been reporting the number of suicides and deaths in the forest because they're trying to dissociate the association between suicides and the forest in general. Now, just a couple years ago, in 2015 and in 2016, there were two movies made about the suicide forest and the events surrounding them. In 2015, The Sea of Trees, featuring Matthew McConaughey, Ken Watanabe, and Naomi Watts, was released, and it was about two men, McConaughey and Watanabe, going to the forest to commit suicide and meeting one another. Honestly, I never heard of it, and I didn't even know the movie existed until I started doing this research. And I mean, I'm gonna go watch it just because I would like to have seen it, just to see, you know, why it was so badly criticized as dull and boring. It received boos, like loud boos and laughter at the Cannes Festival. So that should tell you something. Critics were apparently very harsh in reviewing it, and it legit had a $25 million budget, and out of it, it only made back $800,000. It was an entire failure. Now, however, in 2016, a movie came out called The Forest, and this was starring Natalie Dormer and Taylor Kinney. Now, I've seen this movie. I liked it. I had actually heard that there was controversy for more than what I'd seen, but I can't find the articles that I found years ago when it came out that it had actually been banned in Japan. I can't find anything actually stating that it was. So that's out the window. But also I heard controversy that the picture of the poster right here, it was actually supposed to be changed because it's actually an, I guess it's in reference to a very popular, I don't even want to say popular, I want to say viral picture of a gentleman who, well, we're assuming it's a gentleman who committed suicide in the forest, and they didn't find anything below the jaw, except for just like, I guess, hanging flesh. So supposedly there was a big uproar that it needed to be changed because it was disrespectful. Again, I did more research, could not find the articles again. So I don't know if that is true, that that's the, that there was an issue or not, or if that was just people on Facebook doing their usual ranting and raving. but there, it did face some controversy that I was able to find. And it also, it got a lot of criticism as well, not for being dull or boring, but dear God, I can't. Not for being dull and boring, but more so for, it's basically what I read is, end quote, trivializing the issues of suicide in Japan and disrespecting those who died in the real life forest. There was claims also that the movie was racist towards Japanese people. I've seen it quite a few times and I don't see where it was, but I mean, I honestly wasn't looking for it. I was actually just looking to see how well it handled the history of it. And when I, and yeah, I mean, there was a spot there where I'm now thinking about that. I'm like, okay, yeah, that could have actually been considered, I guess, not racist, just misinformation. This movie did do exceptionally well in the box office. And if I'm correct, it debuted on the same weekend as The Revenant, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie. And it had a budget of $10 million, $15 million less than the Sea of Trees, but it ended its box office run with a $38.8 million in revenue. So I don't know if a lower budget movie outranking a higher budget movie was a thing, or if it was just the acting or the lack thereof direction. I have no idea. I personally, like I said, I liked The Forest. You can watch it on Netflix. No sponsorship here. But if you haven't seen the movie, basically what it's about is two twin sisters, both portrayed by Dormer, and one lived in Japan. Her name was Jess. She was a school teacher. And then the other one is Sarah, and she lived in the United States. And basically middle of the night, Sarah gets a phone call from the Japanese authorities saying that Jess has gone missing. She went into Aokigahara, which to them is known as the suicide forest, and that they believe that her sister had committed suicide. She had asked, you know, oh, what are you going to do about it? And they were like, we believe she's already dead. So she flies out to Japan, kind of just says F the whole world and just goes. And she basically is trying to find her sister. She goes to Aokigahara, where there's I guess it's a rescue center or a travel lodge or something. I'm not exactly too sure what the place is, but while she's there, she's meeting an older Japanese lady and a younger Japanese woman. And she's saying she's there to meet her sister. And the older woman is like, oh, we have her. And she takes her downstairs into this basement. And in the basement, there's a dude sitting outside with headphones on. And she's like, what's that for? She was like, oh, so that way we don't hear the screams. And, you know, it makes you think like, oh, what the hell? And then they take her into this room. The older woman goes upstairs because a guy's up there yelling and hollering. And Sarah pulls back a thing. And it is like a room of dead people that supposedly were found in Aokigahara and brought back out. I don't know if that's supposed to be a depiction of the searches or whatnot. But Sarah ends up bringing out saying it's not her sister. The lady's like, oh, good. Then, you know, she might be okay, or she's still in there. The young girl comes out while Sarah's outside trying to call, make a phone call or something. And she says, don't go inside the forest. I recommend that you avoid it because you have sadness in your heart and the Yuri will get you. They feed off of sadness. And honestly, that it coincides with what I've found in my research, but also, one of the things in the movies, she goes to her sister's school because they originally had went there on a field trip the day before. And because she's a twin, the kids all in the school know that her sister went missing. She ends up terrifying a few of the kids. Well, one girl screams, they go into the principal's office, and the principal explains that, oh, well, she thought you were Miss Jess, or she thought you were the Yuri of Miss Jess, because all the kids just assumed that she had offed herself. And that's when, and this is where I could see where it could be a little bit racist and where I could see some of the backlash. Like, not like I said, not racist, but more misinformation. The principal's explaining the forest and how, even though, yes, it has dark connotation, it's history. It's a part of Japan. It's not, the forest isn't bad. You know, people go in and just do bad things. But she said that back in the 60s and 70s, back in the day, food famine had hit, and that they would take the sickly and the blind and the elderly into the forest and leave them there to die. Now, I found nothing of that in my research, so I don't know if that was just made up for the film, but I could definitely see where that could cause a spark of craziness. Later on, Sarah goes to this bar, still looking for her sister, asking if anyone's seen her. And she meets up with this Australian reporter, Taylor Kinney. And he basically does what he can to help her by, you know, hot girl, look for her sister. He figured, yeah, let me do you a favor. You do me a favor. You let me interview you for my magazine and I'll do what I can to help you find your sister. So he gets, she allows him to interview. She says this horrible story about how her parents died, when in actuality, you find out later, the parents didn't die. I mean, they did die, but it wasn't like, the way she described it to him is not how it happened. And I'm not going to give out too much information on that one because I want you all to go see it yourself. But basically, throughout the movie, their guide tells them, like, hey, I don't think you should be here. You're very sad. I'll go in and look for your sister. I have no sadness in my heart. I will go in. I will find her. And if I find her, I will bring her out no matter what condition I find her in. And Sarah's stubborn, headstrong. And she's like, no, I'm going in with you. You'll just get over it. And they stumble upon Jess's tent. Don't ask me how she knew it was Jess's tent, but it was Jess's tent. And so basically she refuses to leave. She wants to stay in the forest overnight to just in hopes that her sister comes back to the forest, to the tent. And Taylor Kinney's character refuses to leave her by herself. So, I mean, he does what every good gentleman does. You take the tent, I'll sleep outside kind of thing. And their guide says, okay, but do not leave. do not move, do not leave. You have to stay here. So I can mark where you're at, so I can come back in the morning with more search and rescue people, and we can find you guys and help find Jess. And basically, she doesn't listen. She sees a girl and she takes off. When Taylor Kinney's character, his name's Aiden, I should probably just say it. He comes and finds her because Sarah had fallen and she hurt herself pretty bad. And instead of waiting around for morning, Aiden suggests that they follow the trail back down the mountain to try to get out to get her some help for her hand. And not only that, but because she had told him, I saw a girl and she ran away from me. And his biggest concern was, okay, you're injured and you potentially just saw a high schooler or middle schooler who's possibly committing, thinking about suicide. We need to go get help. The movie then just portrays back and forth where she keeps seeing this girl. And this girl is actually, her catalyst, I guess, is the way to put it. I don't, without giving anything away, besides of everything I've kind of given away. But I would definitely say that a lot of what's said inside of it does match up with my research. There is some stuff, like I said, that just doesn't match up. It seems a little extreme. But I would definitely say if you're interested in seeing Hollywood do their little spin around, I would watch The Forest. Like I said, not too sure about the Sea of Trees. Not too sure about that one, but I mean, if you want to go ahead and check it out and let me know what you think, go for it. I'm probably going to see if I can even find it, because I've never heard of it. So I have no idea where I'll be able to watch it. Maybe Prime somewhere. I don't know. I'll figure it out. But that is the story of Al Kigahare. Now, again, like I said, at the beginning of this, there was a disclaimer and the suicide prevention hotline number is on that. And I also will be posting it up at the end of this video, just for those of you that, you know, possibly might need something. And if you're having thoughts and you don't want to call the prevention hotline, find a friend. Call a friend, a family member, someone, because you'd be surprised how many people would actually be there for you in your time of need. So with that said, I hope you all enjoyed, and we'll see you next time. Stay spooky.